I can get anytime I do anything. Lord God, we give you praise and honor. We give you glory. We ask, Lord God, for your spirit to be in here as we tackle this topic, Lord God, that you would give me wisdom and understanding in addressing any questions or issues, Lord God, and that you would be glorified. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all out here. Before I get started, let me introduce myself, because you might be like, well, who's this Dr. H.C. Felder guy? But just give you a little bit of background. I was actually born in a Christian home, and I was forced to go to church on Sundays. And I heard about this guy named Jesus, and it meant absolutely nothing to me. But I knew God existed, but I wouldn't call myself a Christian. Then I joined the military. And I think it was, every time before I give my testimony, I always mean to look this up, because I actually have the record. But I think it was March 3rd, 1982, when I made a really interesting decision. I was in the Philippines. I've been stationed in the Philippines, and I was going outside the gate for the first time. And I remember looking around and seeing all the women and seeing all the bars. And I said, you know what? I think belief in the God is going to interfere with the way I want to live my life. So I made a decision right then and there. Not many people do this. I made a decision right then and there not to believe in God. I said, okay, from now on, I'm an atheist. Because I want to live my life the way I want to live it. I don't want nobody telling me what to do, how to do it, and who to do it with. And God is really interesting. God says, okay, that's what you want to do. Okay, have at it. And that's how I lived my life for, wow, maybe 20 years. And what I didn't realize is that when I gave up God, when I didn't want to have anything to do with God, it was because I wanted to be free to do the things that I wanted to do. And then I realized years later when I was a really bad alcoholic, a really bad whoremonger. See, these are the two things I wanted to be able to do that God would interfere with. And I woke up one day and I realized that I was enslaved to these things. I mean, I was in bondage to these things. My life revolved around these things. It's all I thought about when I woke up in the morning. I find it so ironic when I look back, is that I wanted to be free to do these things that put me in bondage. I actually met a young lady who was a Christian. Now, during this time, I wasn't just an atheist. I hated Christians because I didn't want anything to do with a God for obvious reasons. But something weird would happen, though. Whenever I went out on the deck at night, and I looked up at the stars, it would be difficult for me. Because I would look up at the stars, I would see His majesty, and I would just know that no man did that. So in order to get around that, every time I got back to shore, I would just become worse. I would argue with Christians. I would degrade them. Because I had to build my anti-faith up. Because it was challenged every time I went to sea. One day a young lady invited me to go to church with her. And I went because I was interested in her. I had no interest in going to church. And I mean, it was on a Friday. Because I remember thinking to myself, who in the world goes to church on a Friday? You're supposed to be going to happy hour. You're supposed to be drinking on a Friday. You're supposed to be going to no church. But I went there and something weird happened. I had some kind of encounter. I couldn't explain it. I had this feeling it just started in my toes and it just started coming up and I just started fighting it off. And I was taking her home. I took her back home and I told her what happened. And she said, well, that was the Holy Spirit calling me. I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. But it made sense to me at the time. And I said, yeah, I think it was. She said, you know what? You ain't got to wait to go to church next week. You can accept the Lord right now. I said, I'm going to do it. And the next day, coincidentally, the next day was the day when they had the, it was October the 6th, 1997, and it was when they had the Million Men, not the Black Million Men March, because I was in D.C. It was the Promise Keepers thing. And they had all those men. And I had this, when I woke up the next morning, I had this crazy compulsion to just go down there. It was on the mall, you know, with a White House and all that. I had this crazy compulsion to go down there, and I went down there and by myself. And I remember I was at the foot of the Washington Monument, and I remember the guy was leading everyone in a prayer, and he told us to bow our heads. And I bowed my head, and he said, confess your sins. And I confessed my sins, and I remember just crying. And I cried. And I cried. I cried, y'all, I think for 2 hours. And when I lifted my head up, there was a big puddle of tears right there. And I was different. From that day on, I was different. And I remember for the next 2 weeks, I was like on this cloud. I was all euphoric. Now, keep in mind now, this time, I'm a software engineer working at NASA. I'm all euphoric. But you know, at some point, the euphoria wears down. And it wore down. I remember thinking to myself, you know, is that really true? Maybe I just had some kind of an emotional response. Maybe there was something going on in my mind that, you know, made me believe that I was having this type of experience. Is Christianity true at all? It's probably not even true. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out if it's true or not. That's when I started doing my research, and that's when I found out about apologetics. And I was shocked to find out all the evidence for Christianity. I mean, I was completely shocked. I was shocked, and I was also upset. I was upset because no Christian ever confronted me with the information. And all the times I berated them, all the times I said your faith is worthless, not one of them ever gave me any evidence for Christianity. I was so emotional and upset about that I decided I was going to dedicate my life to sharing that evidence. So I quit my job as a NASA software engineer. I moved to Charlotte, and I attended Southern Evangelical Seminary. And I studied under Dr. Norman Geisler, and I started my ministry, Giving an Answer. I moved here in 2003. I think it was 2012 I got my doctorate, maybe 2015, I don't know. All the dates start to run together again. For my dissertation, I wrote a book, The African-American Guide to the Bible. And that's actually where I first got into this topic. And that's pretty much what brings me here to you today. This is part of me sharing what I've learned. And I also have a YouTube channel where I did a lot of TV shows. I've interviewed Dr. Geisler, Kurt Wise, a lot of the professors you see here today. And you can go on my website, or you can go to my YouTube channel, you can see that. I'll put my contact information up at the end of this. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Just to let you know, the way I like to do things is I like to answer questions as they come up. And let's see how that works out. I think I have enough room built in for questions. So if you have questions, you can just say, hey, and instead of waiting to the end where I might not have any more time. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be able to answer your question. I'm saying you can ask it. You can ask it, and I just, that was a good question, and just keep moving. So let's go. Let's get started. So I like to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I tell you, then I tell you what I told you. Because to me, it allows me to build a roadmap in my head to keep things organized. Because I can't learn things unless I organize it in my mind. So y'all are benefiting from my disorganized mind. I'm going to talk about why this is even important. Why do we even care if there's a difference between psychics and prophets? Why is that even important to us as believers? Then I'm going to talk about psychics. I'm going to, you know, give some examples of some psychics that I find really, really interesting. I'm going to talk about where they get their supposed power from. Then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about prophets. We're going to look at the difference between the psychics and the prophets, because you're going to see that the source of the information is different, and the type of things that they do and say is different. Then I'm just going to summarize a few points, you know, the main things I want you to take away. Because what happens is you go to a presentation and you hear 1,000 things, you don't know what to take home. I'm going to tell you these are the five. If you got nothing else from this, take home these 5 things. Then I'm going to ask some questions. We okay? Everybody okay? Let's get started then. Why is this important? If psychics are equal to prophets, then we lose a major proof of inspiration of Scripture. Now, in my book, The African-American Guide to the Bible, the first part of my book is dealt with proving that the Bible is divine. And one of the ways I do that is through biblical prophecy. To me, that is the best proof for the inspiration of Scripture. So it is a big proof of the inspiration of the Bible. And if Scripture is not inspired, then our faith is a lie. Because if prophecy is a way that we can tell that the Bible is the Word of God, but if prophets aren't the only ones who can do that, then we can't claim that it's special in any kind of way. If psychics can do the same thing that prophets do, then how can we say that telling the future is an inspiration for the Bible? Does that make sense? Are you looking for that? That's making sense? Okay. Now, let me tell you how this actually came up. When I was started attending Southern Evangelical Seminary, I was taking a class from Dr. Geisler. It was apologetics 101. And my paper was on biblical prophecy as proof for inspiration of the Bible. And I got my paper back, and it had an A on it. Well, that was good. But he wrote something in red on the side. And he wrote, "What about psychics?" And I thought to myself, interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. Because what happens is New Age people will tell you, well, prophets, well, we got psychics who can do that. Nothing special about biblical prophets, because psychics tell the future every day. They're nothing special. They're just like everybody else. But we have to find a way to differentiate the two if we're going to say that the God that we serve is a God who is omniscient, a God that knows all, a God who is powerful, a God who can truly foretell the future. If we're saying that there are other beings who could do that, then that sort of diminishes who our God is. All right? So what about psychics? Let's talk about psychics. Another word for psychic is clairvoyant, which means to see clearly and includes the following activities. Doing readings using their psychic powers, you know, like reading your palms and all that type of stuff. Contacting the dead. These type of things are very, very, very popular now, where people do seances and, you know, people want to see if Uncle Joe was okay on the other side. Did he make it to heaven, or where is Uncle Joe? Channeling spirits. And this is when a psychic actually allows a spirit to speak through them. It actually possesses them and speaks through them. Using divination tools such as tarot cards to receive information. I'm sure most of you are probably familiar with tarot cards. What does the Bible say about psychics and this whole thing? Deuteronomy 18:11. Well, let's be 11 through 12, or 10 through 11. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And actually, that passage goes on to say this is the reason why God is getting rid of the people who were in the land originally, is because they were doing these detestable things. So this is not just something that God just says, well, you know, just add this to a lot of list of don'ts. This is God saying that I will destroy you for doing this type of stuff. This is really important to God. So let's look at what the source of some of the psychic powers are. Where do they get their stuff from? Where do they get their information from? Well, one is fraud and deception. Some of them are just plain fraudsters. They do cold readings. Anyone know what a cold reading is?
Like a test?
No, it's like right. Exactly. They're fishing for information using their body language. Give me an example. Because, you know, most of our communications is through body language. And we communicate a lot of things, not even knowing we're communicating a lot of things. That's why a lot of tests work, because you have bodily reactions to certain things. And it may be so subtle that the average person doesn't know, but someone who's trained can look at your body language and tell. So, for instance, I could come in here and say to you, I'm a psychic, and I could say, oh, someone's trying to contact me. Oh. Anyone here have a mother who passed on? And I'm scanning the audience. And then someone might look like, yes. Did she die recently? Yeah, well, that's recent to me. I'm seeing the initial C. Yes, her name was Clarice. So you're giving them information by the way that you respond, and they're figuring out how to respond to your responses, to fish down to find out, to give you the information that you think is from Aunt Clarice or whatever. Generalizations that can fit anyone. And I think Jonathan Edwards was really good at this. How many of y'all know Jonathan Edwards? He had a TV show on where he was contacting the dead all the time. And he would do stuff like, you know, sort of like that. But he would also say something like, you know, I'm hearing from someone who, and he would also do stuff like this. Like he would be facing this person. This person would say, I want to contact my grandfather. My grandfather Joe, and he would do something like this. Oh, yeah, did he die of cancer? And then you say, no. Well, somebody's contacted me named Joe who died of cancer. And then someone else might say, oh, I had an Uncle Joseph. That's him. If someone guesses enough times, they are bound to get some of them right. Some of them are just really, really good guessers. And the thing is, you don't hear about the failures. You only hear about the successes. If you started keeping track of what these psychics say, you would see that 95% of the time they're actually wrong. But, of course, you're only going to hear about the 5% that they're right. So, fraud and deception is one. But another is demonic. Because I do believe that there are psychics out there who can tell you stuff. Who can tell you accurate stuff. The question is, where do they get that information from? Deceiving us actually falls under the job description. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You know, so since I got into this topic, I watch a lot of these bizarre stories or ghost shows, paranormal shows. And what I find really, really interesting is that, and this is going off a little bit on a tangent. What I find out interesting a lot about a lot of these shows is that people will say that they're being haunted by a little girl. And come to find out, if you do an investigation, that the little girl is really a demon. And they will say it on the show. And they will say something like, yes, demons often masquerade as little girls because they want to get your trust. And then once they get your trust, then they start to manifest into what they really are. So this is not beyond the realm of Satan to pretend that he's someone to gain your trust. And then once he gets your trust, then you see a whole new side. We also see this in 2 Thessalonians 8:10. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that the wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse the love and truth to be saved. Their primary means is observation. Because they see everything. Now, I don't know. I was listening to this guy last night who was saying that once you become a believer, there are two demons assigned to you. I have no idea if that's true. I don't see it in the scripture. But I do know that there are demons who are watching out, watching over you. In fact, that's what a familiar spirit is. Someone that is very familiar with you, intimately familiar with you. Their job is to find out about you. Their job is to lead you astray. to find out what it is that leads you astray, to find out what is your weakness so they can capitalize on that weakness. And they see things about you that no one else sees. For instance, I see a nice looking woman walking down the street, and I take that second little glance, and that little familiar spirit says, okay, so I see the type of woman he likes. I see exactly the type of woman he likes. So that's the type of woman I'm going to tempt him with because I know what he likes. They become experts in you. Anyone ever read the Screwtape Letters? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. And the Screwtape Letters is actually a junior demon communicating with a senior demon about how to lead his charge astray. And these are basically letters going back and forth from correspondence on how to handle the charge or the person. And it's not inspired, but I think there's a lot of truth in that. Because he says things that just makes a whole lot of sense. Like for instance, oh, go ahead. Yes, written by C.S. Lewis. Yes, by C.S. Lewis. He would say something like, the senior demon would say something like, never let him go out in nature. Because you never want him to question creation. You never want him to look around and be all by his surroundings. I found that really interesting. Because what was I telling you before about me? When I was an atheist, I was all by creation. So a lot of these things, I think, just speaks to the truth. So, and they're watching you all the time. They know what you. They know all about you, and they can communicate that with other demons. Because they are smarter than we are, they can make certain types of predictions. Y'all, they've been studying us since we've been on this planet, since we've been created. They know what people do in given certain situations. They know what you would do specifically because you have one that's probably sitting somewhere around you. There's probably one from each one of us in here right now. I don't know. But the fact that they are smart means, and they have observed human history, they know not only what you would probably do, but where culture is going. And what type of things to do in our culture to get our culture to fall. Because they've taken down cultures before. They know what we do. They know what our reaction is. When culture does this, well, then let's do this. They've seen it all before. Ain't nothing we're doing, y'all, that surprises them. And they know how to take advantage of it. Demons are not omniscient, but they have access to great wealth of insider information. So think about it now. You've got demons who are watching over people everywhere. So you've got demons who knows what's going on behind the board meetings of some big companies. You've got demons who know who's sleeping with who on Capitol Hill. You've got demons who knows everyone's darkest secret. And because they know everyone's darkest secret, they can use that information. They can give that information to other demons. They can share that information. A network of sharing information. Let me give an example. When I was in the Philippines, and this is a true story, I was still an atheist. I was just sitting in the bar, having me a Red Horse, drinking. It's an open bar. And this guy walks up in the bar, and he had on this big turban. You know, he had like he was from India. He had the whole garb on. And he walks up to me, and he says, I want to tell your fortune. I said, nah, man. I'm sitting here looking for girls. So he showed me some picture where he was studying in the under some guru in India, in the mountains or somewhere. And I wasn't too impressed. But he grabbed my hand and he said, your mother name is Lily and your father name is Ben. He was right. I said, sit down. And he told me some stuff, y'all, that was true. And it blew my mind. It truly blew my mind. Now, I didn't have a framework to put this in. So I didn't know that he could have been connecting to demons. I didn't believe demons existed. So I didn't know. This threw my atheistic worldview into a loop, but I didn't know how to interpret what he was saying. But I never forgot what he was saying. It wasn't years later until I became a believer and I come to SES and I started learning about how demons act and all that type of stuff to be able to understand what was actually going on there. But everything he said was true. So now everyone who's a psychic is telling lies. What I didn't realize at the time is that he had access to information through maybe a demon who knew about me. They often contradict the Bible and Christian doctrine. And this is important. This is important because you will hear a lot of psychics say that their gift comes from God and that they are serving God. The problem is, it's a different God. Just because someone said that they're serving God doesn't mean that they're serving the God we're talking about. And just on a side note, as believers, we got to be really careful about this, because I can't tell you how many times I have someone come up to me and say that they're trying to witness to a person, and the person says, "I already know about Jesus," but the Jesus that they're talking about is a completely different Jesus. This, for someone to say they believe in Jesus doesn't make them a believer or a Christian, because Muslims believe in Jesus. It's just a different Jesus. Psychics believe in Jesus. It's just a different Jesus. And I want to talk about that in a little bit. So believing in Jesus isn't enough, because I don't know what that means. You might be saying that Jesus was a good teacher who lived 2,000 years ago. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about Jesus. So don't be duped when someone says, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus too." Here's what they believe. And actually, I got this from a book in my sources. Dr. Ron Rose wrote a book on psychic ghosts and all that kind of good stuff. And he did research on a lot of these psychics, and he came up with a worldview for them. They believe the Bible should not be interpreted literally. Instead, we should seek the hidden spiritual truths. Don't take the Bible literally. If God said, "Thou shalt not," there was something deeper there that we've got to get to. Something esoteric. Something woo. That's a technical term, y'all. Woo. My wife does that. When she talks a lot of times and she tries to explain a noise, and she'll make a noise like that. She'll say, "Well, the car's going clank, 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 clank." I say that again. She's like, "No," because she know I'm messing with them. They deny the deity of Jesus and bodily resurrection. Jesus was the embodiment of Christ, which we can all have. So Christ and Jesus are two different things. Christ is the power that Jesus had. It is the self-awareness. It's deity. But Jesus happened to embody that. But anyone can embody the Christ. You can embody the Christ just like Jesus did. You just have to find a way to embody the Christ. But Christ and Jesus are two different things. Does this start to sound to you like doctrine of demons? And that is one of the reasons why, because some people say, "Oh, you Christians, every time you can't make sense of something, you always say it's the devil." No, I'm looking at their theology. And the theology is consistent with the doctrine of demons. To some psychics, God is not a personal being, but an impersonal force. To others, such as Sylvia Brown, I'm going to be talking about her, she's one of my favorites, hold to a father God and mother God, Asna. Now, the reason why I like to mention Sylvia Brown is because she's one of the ones who always go around talking about how she gets her gift from God, and how she has led believers astray thinking that her gift does come from God. But you have to ask her, who is God? And when you ask her, who is God, then you see that there's a big difference between what she is worshiping and what we worship. Humans are perfect in nature. We are one with God. We have a perfect, we're not fallen. We're perfect. We are like God ourselves. We're like deity. Sin is merely an illusion. Man is not morally fallen, and there is no sin nature. We have not committed any offense against God that needs to be fixed. This whole idea about the fall of man is ludicrous, they would say. This is why Jesus is just a mere man who embodied the Christ, because he didn't need to die on the cross and raise from the dead for our sins. What sins? There are no sins to be forgiven for. Isn't it starting to sound more and more like the doctrine of demons? And you know what I also find common? Because actually I think this is really common across most, if not all, other religions. Let me give an example. In Islam, do you know in Islam, you know, Islam believes in Jesus too. Well, they believe he existed. They believe he was a prophet. But they say that Jesus did not die on the cross and rise from the dead. That's what they say. And the reason why they say that is because there's no original sin. There's nothing that he needed to die for. Because you see, in Islam, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God punished them by sending them to earth. But then he said, okay, that's all. That's all your punishment. There was no sin that got transferred from parent to son, from generation to generation. Sin does not, we have no inherent sin nature, so there is no reason for Jesus to be a sacrifice for us. It amazes me how in every other religion, one thing they all have in common is that there's no need for Jesus. No need for atoning. Because guess what? You could be good enough on your own. If you live right, like Islam would tell you, you could be good enough on your own to make it to heaven. You don't need no Jesus. Any questions about that? Any questions about anything I said so far? Okay. All right. Well, this is another thing about psychics. They don't even claim to be 100%. accurate. They don't even try, because they know that they're not. Let's look at some famous psychics and let's do an evaluation of them. What do y'all say about that? Nostradamus. How many of you never heard of Nostradamus? Okay. Right, then you don't watch the History Channel at all, do you?
I don't. I can't watch any channel.
Oh, okay. Actually, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
You should go and watch my YouTube channel. Shameless plug. Shameless plug. Buy my book, too, while you're at it. Nostradamus. Okay. Now, the reason why I make that comment is because there are all kinds of shows that come on the History Channel about Nostradamus, how he was the greatest psychic to ever live. Well, actually, they would call him prophet. They don't use the word psychic. They would say he's the greatest prophet that ever lived. Because see, they want to put everybody in the same bucket. They want to put Nostradamus in the same bucket with Daniel. We're going to see they're not in the same bucket. Nostradamus. Nostradamus lived from 1503 to 1566, and considered by his followers the most effective prophet in the history of the human race. That's pretty a powerful statement. You know, when you look at some of his prophecies, I don't know how to get that. You have to actually read stuff into his prophecies. But let's just evaluate some of his prophecies. Most of his prophecies were vague. They can mean anything to anybody. I'm going to give you another example of somebody who's vague. Every time he was specific, he was wrong. I'm going to show you. He predicted the earth would capture the king of Morocco in 1607. It never happened. He predicted that a monk from Campania, whatever it is, would be elected pope in 1609. It never happened. He said that Turks would capture the king of Persia in 1727. It never happened. He said that a natural disaster would destroy nearly all of the human race in 1732. Do I even have to mention that it never happened? So now, he's supposed to be the greatest prophet that man can bring up to us. But we also see, he sure don't pass the biblical test, dude. He sure don't pass it. Well, let's look at another one. See, I'm trying to take one from different time periods. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Edgar Casey. How many of you have ever heard of Edgar Casey? Okay. Let me tell you how I came across Edgar Casey. I was doing, when I was doing one of my TV shows, I had a crew that helped me. And there was this guy who helped me on my TV show. And one time we got in a conversation about prophets. And he told me, he said, yeah, he said, you should read this guy named Edgar Casey. He was 100% accurate all the time. Everything he said came true. He was the best prophet ever live. I'm like, wow. I said, I never even heard of this guy. But I'm going to find out. And I did find out. Edgar Casey lived in 1877 to 1945. Casey, known as a mystic, healer, and prophet who earned the name Sleeping Prophet since he would make his predictions in a sleep-like state. He is credited with predicting the Great Depression and stock market crash of 1929 as well as World War II. Actually, he still has a non-profit foundation that's going strong now. And you could go there. They actually have a website. And you can go there and they can teach you how to read the Acacia Records. Oh, I just used a crazy term here. Any of y'all ever heard of the Acacia Records? Okay. Supposedly, everything that ever happened in human history, there's a record of it. A, like, invisible record. So that psychics and mystics can pull that file anytime they want. So it's called the Acacia Records. But they tell you how to do all kinds of mystical things if you were to join. And they're in a number of places around the U.S., even though he's long dead. And even though he wasn't a prophet from my estimation. So let's look at a little bit of evaluation of him. He did make some predictions that came true, but he also made some predictions that surely didn't come true. And remember now, I say, predicting World War II, I think is something that a demon could do. Preventing the stock market crash, I think is something a demon could do. Because now, remember now, demons have access to all the superpowers. They know what they're doing behind closed doors. They know what discussions they're having with their military commanders. Demons know what happens with stock markets, what's going on behind board meetings, and he knows what people have in their mind. But there are certain things that a prophet can't know. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, remember Moses. Remember how he had the healers or the mystics. And remember Moses would do a trick, like he would lay something down and would turn it into a stick. And then the magicians would duplicate it. Moses would do something, they would duplicate it. But when it came to creating the gnats, what did the magicians say? They said, we can't do that. That's the hand of God. Why? Because only God can create. Only God can create life. Even life as simple as a gnat. So there are certain things that I think, you know, you can get from a demon. There are certain things you can't. Because there are certain things that are in the preview of God's knowledge, period. That would explain why he missed some of these predictions. The rise of the ancient city of Atlantis, which will appear in the Caribbean in 68 or 69. Do I have to say that never happened? The destruction of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York by 1998. Ooh. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead to this is my favorite one. She's my favorite one. This is Sylvia Brown. How many of you ever heard of Sylvia Brown? Okay. I love Sylvia Brown. I love her because she has an interesting personality. And some of the things that she says are just so easily proven false. I've known about Sylvia Brown since before I was a believer. How do I know her? Because I used to watch her on TV. Sylvia Brown was one of America's most recognized psychics before dying in 2013 at the age of 72. She was regularly featured on the Montel Williams Show and Larry King Live TV shows. You know, that's probably some of y'all never seen it before, because y'all probably never heard of Montel Williams, have y'all? See, I'm old school. I go back to Montel Williams. I used to watch Montel Williams, and I remember seeing her on there. I remember being impressed, too. As an atheist, I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. She can tell all this stuff. Before she died, she made a number of predictions that are available on her website. And all this stuff I'm telling y'all right now, I'm going through right now, is actually in my book as well. So let's look at some of her predictions. I got directly from her website. Well, remember I tell you before that some of their predictions are so general that they can mean anything? And if they can mean anything, how do you tell if it was ever fulfilled? Let me give you an example. This is one of her predictions. More people will start eating better to cut down on obesity. That's actually a prediction, y'all. That's actually a prediction on her website. How do you prove that? That to me sounds like an opinion. But wait, there's more. New values begin to emerge very slowly, but we get back to caring for each other more. Does this compare to a biblical prophet? When she died, well, when she does give specific predictions, they're often just flat out wrong. And I got this straight from her website, for 2012. This is what she predicted for 2012. Obama will not be reelected. The next president would be a Republican. For those of you who don't know, Obama was reelected. There would be a cure found for multiple sclerosis. There would be a tsunami in Florida in the fall. That didn't happen, just for y'all who don't know. So these are very, very general things. What the general things, we can't say whether they were true or not. And the specific things we know are wrong. Now, some things you get right. But like I said, if you guess enough times, you're going to get things right. But if you are a true prophet, if you're a godly prophet, you don't get things wrong. It shouldn't be a good thing when you get things wrong. It should be a good thing. Y'all know what I mean if that didn't come out right. Here's my favorite one, y'all. In 2012, on an episode of the Montel Williams Show, she told the parents of missing 11-year-old Sean Hornbeck that their child was dead. And he had been kidnapped by a dark-skinned man with dreadlocks. The child was found alive in 2007. The kidnapper was Caucasian with short hair. She would later question about how she could be so wrong. In one of her most truthful moments, she made probably her most accurate statement, "Only God is right all the time." She was touted as one of the most accurate, best known, number one psychics living. And she got so many things so wrong. If this is the best that psychics can do, doesn't that give us pause? Any questions about psychics? Yes. Well, those were from God. We know they were from God because God said they were from him. Yes. So, right. Well, maybe they are trying to mimic it, but the difference is they are not contacting God. We know that the priest were contacting God because we know that God gave it to them. Now, they may be contacting something, which is maybe why they're doing it, but what they contacted is not God. Because we know God told us not to do that. So that might be why they're trying to do that type of stuff. But it's not going to lead them to the same source.
Dr. Felder, who would you say are the most popular psychics nowadays?
I would say, I don't know her name, but there's a lady who has this show that comes on. Psychics of Manhattan, or Psychics of New York or something, where she goes around. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But I don't know her name. Yeah. There is one that I watch, and I think she's supposed to be pretty famous. I can't remember her name either. But the show is called... I can't remember the name of the show, what it is. But I watch them because it's really bizarre, because some of the things that they say just really, really takes me for a loop. Like, I was watching this one show where there was this black and white couple, and they were being tormented. And she came in and said that, well, they're being tormented because the people who were tormenting her were KKK members. So they were KKK members, and they died, and they still were KKK members. So there's something about that just didn't make sense to me. How do you stay? So just some things, and I listened to it just try to understand the theology of it. But there aren't, I don't know if there's not, like, Sherrod Brown was the one, but I don't know who it would be today. Those two I would use as the best example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what would you classify her in? She was in the church.
Right, right. Now, I would say that there are people in the church who are doing occultic things. Just because someone says that they're a believer doesn't mean that they're actually saved. Or they're actually doing things the biblical way. The Bible teaches us that the 12 apostles, all of them performed miracles, right? They all performed miracles. Well, Judas was one of them. He performed miracles then. But we know Judas was someone who was destined to hell. So just because someone does something miraculous and it looks like a miraculous sign does not necessarily mean it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that before in my life.
Kurt? If somebody claims to have been a former sex offender, there's some other fraud that claim that. As soon as they say that, I tune them out.
Now, Kurt, actually, we graduated together from SES, and he's going to be talking next door. Yes. Not possessed, but yeah, I believe they can be oppressed. Definitely. Yeah. So, any more questions? Okay, go ahead.
So, when psychics are validated by the accuracy of their position, and based on what you're showing now, there's a lot of error in the question. Why do people still listen?
Because they want a response to, they want their information now. Let me give you an example. 2 Kings 1. I thought I had this in my presentation, but I don't. The king of Judah was sick, and he wanted to know if he was going to get well. So he sent a messenger to go to Ekron to ask their God if he was going to get well. God had Elijah to confront him on the road. And Elijah confronted the messenger on the road, and he said, go back and tell your king, say this to your king, is there not a God in Israel that you have to go to Ekron and inquire of their God? I think that says it right there. I think that's the bottom line. God does not want us going to other people or to other things to try to get information that he doesn't want to give us. Because if he doesn't want to give us the information, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. But we don't trust God. We want to do it ourselves. So we want to find out information when we want to find it out. So we're willing to do that. We're willing to circumvent God to get information that may or may not be true. Let me tell you a story about, I was reading, one of the books I was reading. It was a story about this guy who was, he was trying to debunk psychics. So he came across this one lady who was channeling this spirit. And the spirit that she was channeling said that the guy and her were married in a previous life. And she told him some things about herself that were true, to the point where he became a believer. But here's the thing, y'all. More and more, he became obsessed with finding out information from this channeler. He dropped his fiance. He quit his job because he wanted to come and find out information from this psychic. His whole life was turned upside down because he could now no longer make a move without this psychic telling him this. So he found out this psychic, some of the stuff that the psychic told him was wrong. It was hard to find out. But when he found out it was wrong and he realized he was not talking to who he said he was talking to, he realized he had given up his job. He had given up a life with his fiance. He had given up his career. He had given up everything following after a deceitful spirit. Because that's what we're going to end up doing if we follow after some of these things that entice us with information, that entice us with, well, I can tell you this. I can tell you, I can show you the future. This and that. We're following after these things, and once we get it, it sucks us in, and our life is no longer our own. So, sometimes I get a little animated, y'all. Forgive me. Yes. Right, because they can be accurate. They're not omniscient, but they can be accurate for the reasons I mentioned. They have access to a lot of information we don't. They're a lot smaller than we are, but they can be accurate. But even if they are accurate, as a matter of fact, the Bible also says that even if a prophet tells you something that comes true and he says, let's follow after other gods, I did not give him that message. I'm testing you. Scripture clearly says that. So God can also give us information. They can get information that's accurate, but just because the information is accurate doesn't mean it's necessarily from God. If they tell you things that are unbiblical, because that's how you test the spirits in the first place, right? To see if it's biblical. If they tell you something that's unbiblical, then you need to turn away. I'm sure there are plenty of people who went after Sylvia Brown because she told them some good things. But she was leading them astray because she was following a God that was a godfather, godmother. Whether or not it's accurate isn't the whole thing. That's part of it. The other part is, do they have sound doctrine? Is it biblical? Because you have to test the spirit, even if it comes true. Yes?
I just wanted to say that my grandmother, she was in the spirit part before she was a Christian. She became a Christian. And she would always say, don't ever open those doors.
Right.
Just stay away.
And me, I know, I'm very curious about some of this stuff. But I would never do some things that would open up a door. Like, you would never catch me doing a Ouija board or even going into a supposedly haunted house. Because I, as a believer, I know if I open up a door, I know Satan is just waiting. Give us a door to open up. We're going to bum rush that door. Just give us a little peek. Go ahead. Just consult that Ouija board. And we're going to bust through that the spiritual barrier. I'm not taking that chance. Especially as a believer. Okay, now when am I supposed to be done? I gotta speed up a little bit. All right, prophets. The purpose of prophets is that they demonstrate God's power, or declare to us the things that have come, tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you are God's. And actually, this is in context. This is what God is saying to the Israelites. He's saying, "You said that your idols are God. Let them prove that they're gods. Let them tell them about something that hasn't come yet. That's how you can tell whether or not they're gods." I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being. I announce them to you. You know, when Daniel had these, and he was interpreting the dreams, you notice what Daniel always said. When the king would say, Daniel, you know, I hear that you can interpret dreams. Daniel would say, no man can interpret a dream for the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. I think that's one of the key tests for a psychic or someone who claims to be speaking for God. If they're claiming the glory for themselves, I think that's a red flag right there. If they're not pointing you to God, source of their powers, God's omniscient. Because God sees the future at the same time he sees the past. God is not on a calendar looking ahead to tomorrow or behind at yesterday. He sees everything in one eternal now. So everything is present before God. So he knows everything. They do not use psychic ability by giving their information directly from God via words and visions. Biblical prophets glorify God and proclaim his word. And you know, and it says it in the Bible. It's clear. It says, thus says the Lord, or the word of the Lord came to me. So when the prophets are speaking, they're making it real clear, this is not coming from me. This is coming from God. And it must be 100% accurate. Deuteronomy 18:21-22. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. And for extra information, the penalty for getting one prophecy wrong was being stoned to death. So you didn't make two false prophecies. And I bet if we had that today, psychics would disappear overnight. Nah. Because they admit they're not 100%. And just to give you an example of some of the, I can't go into a lot of detail. If you want detail, you go into my book, you can buy my book, hint. The Bible gives prophecies concerning Israel. Israel to be conquered by the Assyrians, which was written by Moses 1,400 years before it happened. Judah to go into captivity 114 years before it happened. Judah to be delivered out of captivity 150 years before it was written. Israel to become a nation again, Jeremiah 29:3. The repopulation of Israel, the northern kingdom, did not occur until after the 18th century, over 185 centuries after this prediction and the death of the prophet. My friend back there, Kurt, last year, he did a talk on proving the Bible's divine. Now, I'm doing all these prophecies. He just did one prophecy, and that was the restoration of Israel. Because think about this. That was written a long, long time ago. Israel has ceased to be a nation. And overnight, they became a nation again. But here's the thing. Not just a piece of land. They became a nation again with their exact identity. They had their language, the same culture. They were the same nation. Nowhere in history has a nation disappeared for hundreds, a century or for thousands of years and then all of a sudden pop up and become a nation again. That right there is good enough to prove that the Bible is the word of God. World history, Daniel foretold all of world history. The fall of Babylon, the rise of Persia, the fall of Persia, the rise of Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Even concerning Jesus, the time of death of Jesus, Daniel 9:25-26, and I have this in my book, but if you calculate those 77s, and there was actually a professor from Dallas Seminary who actually calculated. If you calculate, you actually come to the year that Jesus died. So he was actually given the year of Jesus' death. Man of death, Isaiah 53:5-8. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb being led to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers being silent. Next verse 4, he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. These are predictions that happened hundreds of years before they came. Even the death of Jesus was prophesied. He was crushed for our iniquities. 191 prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled. Summary, these are the things I want you to take with you. Psychics and prophets and biblical prophets are very different. Psychics are often wrong and deceptive. They do not have your best interest at heart and will lead you away from God. Prophets speak for God and their words will lead you to God. God alone knows the end from the beginning. The Bible alone passes the test of inspiration through prophecy. That is it. Any other questions? Scary movies? Oh, God, I hope not. I watch them all the time. Not to be. I don't, because just talking about demonic stuff or seeing demonic stuff, I don't think opens you up. Because if you're just talking about demonic stuff, you read demonic stuff in the Bible more than anywhere else. So I don't think just putting a picture on the screen is enough. I think if you participate in something, then that opens up the door.
If I could add to that, there is actually an article written by a man named Josh Larson called A Christian Defense of Horror Films.
Oh,
just
to add I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Last one.
This is a little more philosophical question, but are spirits the type of beings that are transient, meaning that they can move from paradise or Hades to be channeled by psychics? It seems like that's a permanent place that they can't
move. Right. And there are... In my research, there are Christians who have different views on that. Some say no, because once you know to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. But then they will also use examples such as Mount Transfiguration, where Elijah was there. So there are different Christians who have different views on that. I would say that they are completely separate from us. But that doesn't mean that they don't have access to us, because the Bible talks about a cloud of witnesses. But I don't know what that access looks like.
Yeah, because I also think of like the medium at Endor who conjured up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
we were discussing that.
There's a lot of controversy. Was that actually
right.
Daniel? But King Saul seemed to recognize him. So
I think it actually was Saul, because it gave a prophecy and came true.
Right. So,
but whether or not the question is whether or not it was the witch at Endor who actually conjured him up, or if it was God using that as a means of justice, of punishing him, of God using that to announce his punishment for going to seek the witch in Endor for information. Okay.
I just want to know, how much similarities are there between psychics and false teachers or false prophets? Because I don't think you touched on that. The Bible addresses a lot about false prophets in Scripture. So as Christians, that's also something that you obviously need to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Psychic, you sort of black and white for most Christians. Prophets, the real ones, the difference between right and almost right.
So yeah.
Where are the similarities between psychics
and... Well, I think prophets, people call themselves prophets when they're trying to appease a Christian audience or God. Or audience that has an understanding of God. Psychics, I think, is more general, but they can have the same source, because you can have false prophets who are channeling spirits that are demons. We were talking about before the story of Balaam, because clearly Balaam had access to God, but we believe that Balaam was actually a prophet who somehow turned wrong. But God didn't cut him off for some bizarre reason. But my time is out. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.